Well, if you came in today, you should have received a fortune cookie, right? Some of you thought when you got that fortune cookie, oh, Troy is preaching today, obviously. Some of you thought, oh, man, I can't wait to open it and to crack it open and see what the fortune is. Some of you thought, oh, boy, snack time, right? How did you receive your fortune cookie in your heart? You know, I found that when we receive those at Asian food restaurants, many times, especially when we're the group, when we receive those fortune cookies, we say, oh, I can't wait to read it. I can't wait to see what my fortune is. We receive it with eager anticipation. And then when we're with that group, we think, you know, I'm going to share my fortune. We all break those open. We begin to speak those, right? This is what my fortune said. Oh, this is what mine. And we think about how those could be applied to our lives, right? My question to us as we are beginning to crack open and open God's Word, as we've been looking at Psalm 119 over the past 6 weeks, this probing question for you today: how do you receive the preaching and teaching of God's eternal Holy Word? We are about to break open, as I said, crack the pages of a book of promises that the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, will never fade, will never wither, that will always be, it is eternal. We're about to open that word. Will you and I open it with such eager anticipation, with such excitement, that we will see this time of teaching and preaching as treasure, as a true fortune for our lives? I've been in ministry a long time. And what I found is that when we come to the time of preaching and teaching, for many of us, we approach this time with a spirit of casualness, or sometimes even complacency. It's like, okay, well, it's sermon time. Let me open the Bible or listen to the preacher speak. Sometimes we get more excited over a fortune than the treasure of God's Word. Some of us, when we came in, I listened as you received the fortune cookie. Some of you were like, ooh. But when I get up to preach or Ross gets up to preach, you go, ooh. Be honest. Some of you said this: where's my fried rice? Where's the egg roll? I can't wait to get the soup. Come on, Troy, you're going to give me some. Listen, I hope I give you something more than soup today. My thought is, are you ready to receive, church? Oh, one person said amen. All right, great. Are you ready to receive? Yes. Psalm 119. Over the past 6 weeks, the psalmist has said, God, you are my fortune. I am ready to receive your commandments. I'm ready to receive your statutes. I'm ready to receive your promises. I'm ready to receive your judgments because they are abundant to me. And I want to live a God-centered life. And it's my hope that today, as we approach this time of teaching, that we approach it with such fervor, such excitement, that it surpasses any fortune you'll ever receive in a cookie. Psalm 119, verse 41, the psalmist says, may thy loving kindness, may your favor come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me or who taunts me. For I trust in your word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait on thine ordinances. So I will keep thy commandments and thy law continually, forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty. I will seek thy precepts, and I will not be ashamed. For I speak of the testimonies before kings. I will not be ashamed. I will delight in your commandments, which I love. And I will lift up my hands at thy commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on thy statutes. If we want to live a God-centered life, A, accept God's promises of saving and secure love. As the psalmist begins his message to us in verses 41 and 42, he asks God to come to him. And as God comes to him, he says, God, I want you to bring some things to my life. And what is it? I want you to bring, God, your favor. God, I want you to bring your loving kindness. I want to receive your grace. I want to receive your unfailing love. I want to receive, bring to me your salvation that is according to your word. You see, he wants God's love. He wants God's security. He wants God's grace. Why? Why? Because look in the next verse 42. He has a taunter. He has somebody or something that has come against his life. And he needs something to answer this taunter, this thing that has come to reproach him, that has come against him. He's got a bully in his life. He's got a bully in his life, and he needs the strength of God's salvation and love to come against it. Anybody here have a bully in their life? Anybody have a voice in their life that comes against them? Anybody here dealing with discouragement? Anybody here dealing with loneliness? Anybody here dealing with grief? Anybody here dealing with shame? Anybody have a sin that shouts at them? Anybody have a temptation that taunts them? You heard Manija stand up here as a child saying, listen, some things came against her life. She was feeling lonely. She was feeling sad. And she cried out to God in a whisper. Guys, we all need that. Something is coming against you in your life. A defeat, a voice of taunting, an enemy that comes against you. Listen, we need the promise of God and his love to come against our taunters. None of us in this room are so strong that you don't face frailty. We have a good Father who gives his good promises through his word. Secure, unending, forever and ever, according to the psalmist. And the psalmist here acknowledges two things that he needs to accept. Two things he needs to accept. First, he accepts his need. His need. He says, God, I can't go it alone. The taunter is too much. I need to team up with the Trinity. I need to team up with the truth. I need you, God. Anybody here in need, you don't have to lift your hand. I guarantee you. As good as you are, and as strong as you are, and as wise as you are, life will come against you. And you will find yourself needy. None of us in this room is as big as life. That's where God comes in. He says, God, I need you. Next, he says, I need your promises. I need your promises. Look what he says in verse 42. What does he say at the end of verse 42? I what? Trust in what? My ability, right? I trust in my goodness, right? I trust in my stuff. I trust in my money. What does he trust in? The word. The promises of God. Listen, guys, listen. Our insecurities, and all of us have them, by the way, find their security here. If you and I are looking to find security in something other than this, we will always be insecure. This is a foundation of truth that doesn't change with your circumstances. How many of you experienced this in your life? I'm up one day, especially on Friday, and then Monday comes. Sometimes we go with our circumstances, but this exceeds and surpasses. This is where we base our life. And the psalmist says this: listen, I need you, God, but I need your security and your promises more than my circumstances. These are secure. And until we accept them and live in them and walk in them, we're not going to face the taunter's talk with power and security until we live and base our life on the security of God's word. Jesus wants to battle your bullies, and I've never known him to lose. And he will battle your bullies through the power and the security and the transformation of God's word. These promises are unfailing, and they are for us. A, if we want to live a God-centered life, accept the promises of God's love and security. B, be bold in your faith. Be bold in your belief. Be bold in your belief. Verses 43 through 47, the psalmist gives us some great truths. It's like he's saying, God, as you're working out your promises, as I'm experiencing your love, as I'm experiencing your favor and your grace, I'm going to be doing some things with my faith. As I'm watching you work in my life, I'm going to put my faith to my feet, and I'm going to get after it. Because look what he says in verse 43. He says, I will wait for your judgments. Verse 44, I will keep your law. Verse 45, I will walk in your freedom and I will seek your precepts. Verse 46, he says, while you're working in my life, I'm going to speak your testimonies before who? Kings. Verse 47, I'm going to delight in your commandments. What do we see? How would you characterize this psalmist? How many of you say he's a doubter? How many of you say he's scared? How many of you say he's frightened? How many of you say he's paralyzed? No. He is active. He is secure. He is walking. Listen, he is confident in the work of God in his life. Listen, a God-centered life is a be life, not a I will see life. Are you tracking with me? He is an I will believer, not a I'll see doubter. No grass is growing under his feet. He is committed to working out his salvation and his faith. He is not simply waiting out his feelings. Some of us in this room live our faith by our feelings, not on the foundation of God. You see, our spiritual life comes and goes by how we feel. The psalmist says, no. I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to delight. I'm going to speak. I am not going to sit. I am not going to soak. I am not going to sulk. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. When's the last time you and I have truly walked in Holy Spirit power? On believing in what God has said in our faith. How many of you are making the I wills of our life come to life? I love the story in the scripture about David and Goliath. Y'all remember that story? Some of you remember that story from your childhood. I love the story of David and Goliath. Don't you? Okay, you could smile, y'all. I love this story, especially before the slingshot. Do y'all remember the story before the slingshot? You remember the scene on one mountaintop, the army of the Philistines. And on the other mountain is the army of God, the Hebrews, Israelites. How many days did Goliath come on the mountaintop and look out at the God Israel army, the God's army, and shout and taunt at God's people? How many days? 40 days. 40. 40. Day after day after day after day, he taunted God's people. Somebody gonna fight me? Somebody gonna challenge me? Bring them on. Let's go. And every day, God's people heard the challenge, heard the taunt, heard the opportunity to have courage and boldness. And what did they do? They went back into their tents and they twiddled their thumbs. You gonna go? I ain't going. You gonna fight the big guy? I ain't going. Day after day, they had an opportunity to be bold in their faith, and they chose to sit. And one fateful day, God, through a dad named Jesse, packed some lunch for David and said, bring it to your brothers at the front. And he brought the lunch to his brothers. And at that particular time, Goliath comes out to taunt God's people. And David hears it. And on that day, what did David do? David says, boys, what are we waiting for? Let's go. Let's go. Let me ask you, how are you coming at the Goliaths of your life? Are we coming bold in belief? Some of us tread cautiously instead of striding confidently. Let me tell you, victory was won before the stone was slung. But David had to decide. David had to decide. God has victories in your life that are waiting to unfold. He's just waiting for you to be bold in belief. I didn't get an amen. Some of us, God has brought here and said, it's time to decide. It's time to take some steps. It's time to pick up some rocks. Let's do some slinging. There's some giants in your life that God is ready to take down. They've been taunting you for a long time. A compulsion, an addiction, a sin, a taunter. And we have allowed it to talk too long. Pick up the promise of God's word. Be bold. Get to slinging. Lastly, if we're going to experience a God-centered life, celebrate the victory. Celebrate the victory. I grew up as a kid who loved sports. I loved to watch TV as a child and the weekend especially because sports was all over the TV in the weekend. And on Saturday afternoon, there was a program that came on ABC. Jim McKay was the commentator of the event. And as the show came on TV, the words of Jim McKay said this, spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports, the thrill of and the agony of the human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wild World of Sports. How many of you remember that? Yeah, all the guys, yeah. What's the line of that opening that has stuck for generations? The thrill of and the agony of defeat. When I said that, some of you light bulb went, oh, I remember that. Now, here's the next question. If you remember that, if you're old enough to remember that, what was the image on the TV? Some of you, it was black and white. Amen. Glory to God. Some of y'all don't know the power of aluminum foil on an antenna. This is before remote control, kids. How many of you remember the image on the TV when it said the agony of defeat? What was the image? The ski jumper who bailed at the last minute. And he fell. He was like a rag doll falling down the mountain. You remember that, right? Ooh. Let me ask you this. What was the image of the thrill of victory? You don't remember. Why is that? Because most of us focus on our defeats more than our victories. We will tent at our failings more than raise our hand in victory. We sometimes tend to focus on our defeats. We're careful. Some of us are more about catastrophe than trophy. If I said the word surrender cobra, would you know what I'm talking about? Some of you younger people would know. I brought you some pictures. Look on the screen. This is surrender cobra. Now you know. Next picture. Look at the crowd. Next one. What has just happened on the field of play when those are shown on TV? Someone has lost. The game has been given up. Something horrible has happened. And all of a sudden people are going, oh, right? Look in verses 47 and 48. I want you to read this. It's going to be on the screen. I want you to read this out loud as I read it. Read it together with me. Verse 47. And I shall delight in thy commandments, which I love, and I shall meditate on thy statutes. Let me ask you a question. Is that thrill of victory or agony of defeat? Is that thrill of victory or agony of defeat? It's the thrill of victory. This psalmist says, you know what? I will lift my hands in victory. Yes. Because God is the victor. How many of us are living like this? As opposed to this. I'm going to give you a clue here. I'm going to give you a truth. God has never lost. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. God is a billion wins and no losses. How many of you know that? Four people, great. How many of you know that? Then why is it that when life comes our way and life gets tough, that we lose the win? We forget we play on the winning team always. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Romans 8, 37 says, in all these things, we are overwhelmingly what? Conquerors. Victors. Through what? Through who? Through Him. Not you. Not me. We are conquerors only through Him. And if we don't face our life through Him, we will surrender cobra. John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and you have overcome the world. Greater is He where? that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't know where you are in life right now, but I know this. God is a shield about you. God is the lifter of your head. He is your victory. Get your head up. Lift your eyes. Lift your eyes from the hills, from where your help comes from. Yes, you may walk in the valley, but you have somebody who walks with you. God is your victor. And I don't know what is coming against you right now, but in the timing of God, let me promise you that victory will come through him. You have a taunter in your life right now. And if you don't, one is coming. And when your taunter taunts, you speak the triumphant. Celebrate. Lift your hands and your heart will follow. The Bible reminds us in the last book of the scripture, in the book of Revelation, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. And that voice said, hallelujah, salvation, glory, and power belong to who? Belong to who? Our God. Because his judgments, his promises are true and they're righteous. And then a second time, I heard a voice saying, hallelujah, her smoke rises forever and ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and they worshiped God who sits on the throne. And they said, amen, hallelujah. And a voice from heaven in the throne says, give praise to our God. All of you, his bondservants, all of you who fear him, the small and the great, any small here today, any great here today, rise up, give praise to our God. I heard the multitude who said in the sounds of waters and like the sound of the thunder, what did they say? They said, hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. How long? Forever and ever and ever. Amen. The same God who reigns heaven can reign your heart today. Celebration isn't just for glory. Celebration is for your story. Listen, accept it. Be bold in it. Celebrate it. That is the fortune of God. Amen, church. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you. That you are the victory of heaven and you are the victory over our hearts today. Forgive us so many times for living below the standard of victory that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. Forgive us for putting our hands behind our head, living in surrender to the circumstances of this world. Lift us up through the promise of your truth, God. Help us to accept your loving, enduring love and grace, God, that is for us. God, may we live in boldness. May our belief rise up in us. And may we celebrate who we are in you, the identity of who we are in Christ. Forgive us for living below that. Forgive us by living by our feelings. God, may we find our feet on the foundation of your truth. Today, somebody here has allowed their life and the circumstances of their life bring them to a point of dejection and defeat. The taunter has been too much. Grief, shame, discouragement. Voices of temptation, taunting, have overcome us. May we understand that you always win. May we be found in you. May we be like David and say, let's go. Let's go, God. So today, if somebody here, Lord, by your Holy Spirit is needing to stand and come, be bold in belief. Today, they need to receive you as Lord and Savior. Today, they need to rise in victory and say, I trust you as my Savior. I trust you with this problem. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my job. I trust you with my kids. May they live in truth that you are their victory.